Hi, thanks for joining us online. We're glad that you've chosen to access this message. It's so encouraging to know that God is using the ministry of Portico Community Church to touch the hearts and lives of people all across the world. If you have a story to share or a prayer request, we would love to hear from you at info@porticocanada.ca. To support our ministry, you can donate online by clicking on the donate button at the top right of your screen. Once again, we're so glad that you've joined us. It's our prayer that this message from God's Word will deeply impact your life.
Sunday long weekend breakfast. I am the campus pastor here. Portico is one church, one message, many expressions. That means we have a number of different campuses that meet all over the region. However, every service is the exact same content, just feels a little bit different. And you've chosen by far the best Portico expression right here to be with us. Yeah! And we are going through a series this fall called The Great Adventure, and we're looking at all kinds of ways that we relate to God. We looked at what does the Bible have to say. We looked at why was Jesus so important. And this morning we're looking at how does God speak to us and what does it sound like when God speaks to us. Now, the media probably has influenced each of us in the way that we would picture God speaking to us. Those questions were posed to children, and they said, well, God's probably very loud, and he's got a deep voice. That's why they're doing that, that deep thing. And we've seen lots of movies. Who often plays God in movies? We know it's Morgan Freeman, right? If you're picturing God, you're picturing a 70-year-old black guy with like a nice, deep, kind of raspy voice, because he's played God in so many movies. But what we believe about if God speaks really influences the way that we would relate to God or the way that we would approach our faith. And it would actually significantly alter if we have a relationship with God. At church, you may hear people use phrases like, well, God spoke to me about getting involved in serving. Like somebody may say, you know, I really felt like God was speaking about that I should get involved, or I felt like God saying we were supposed to move and we were supposed to be a part of this church, or we really felt like God said we're supposed to give money to this cause or something like that. So if you truly believe that God speaks to you, it might change some of the major decisions that you make in your life. Or if you really believe God speaks, but you've never had the experience of really feeling confident that, yes, God spoke, then you may have this sense of frustration. Other people say God spoke, but I've never really felt confident that that was God speaking to me. Now, if we go to the book of Psalms, and you'll have this, some of the scriptures will be on the screen. A lot of them are just going to be in your notes this morning. I went away for a week, and Pastor Doug came back. He had like 50 different scripture verses he wanted to go through this morning. I said, there's no way we're going to get through it, because we're eating pancakes this morning. So some will be on screen. A lot are in your notes. They'll be used in your growth groups this week as you're studying in your growth groups. But here's what Psalm 32 says. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. So this is God. This is the Lord speaking through David as he's writing the psalm. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Now, those words, instruct, teach, and counsel, those are active words that God is saying, I will do something actively to be involved in your lives. So as we get to this first thought this morning, when you hear somebody say that God spoke to you, what do you assume that they're saying? What do you imagine that they heard? Have people heard an audible voice? Are you waiting to hear an audible voice? Now, if you've never been to one of these services before, we take a break two or three times throughout the service, and we have discussion around the table so everybody can have input into this. Kids, this is where you would stop coloring and stop filling out something, because we believe that adults can learn from kids, and kids can learn from adults, and we want you participating in these discussions. And the great thing about our discussions is you don't have to have any level of faith to be a part of it. This is really just your opinion and your experience. And I'll come back and share a little bit what we see in the Bible. But discussion question number one, we'll give you a few minutes to answer this. What do you imagine happened when you read in the Bible and when it says God spoke to people? So we see all kinds of scripture verses that say God spoke to them or God counseled them. So what do you imagine actually happened when you read that word that God spoke? Go ahead and share around your tables for a few minutes. And we know everybody's going to have a different opinion on that. You probably heard around the table, well, we believe some people would say, when they read that, they hear God had this audible voice. Some people would say, I don't really think God speaks, so I'm really interested to see what we're going to be saying. We've got a whole range of understanding about what it might mean when it says God spoke. So this morning, we're going to do a short study on how God spoke to people throughout history, throughout the Bible, and what we hope to do by the end of the morning is find a way that we can apply that to our lives and see maybe is there a way that God speaks. So the first thing that we see, and if you're filling in notes, these will be in your app or these will be in your bulletin, is that God speaks to us in a variety of ways. There is no one patent answer that we can give and say, we know that this is how God speaks. So God speaks to us in a variety of ways. When you study Scripture, what becomes truly evident is that God is not limited in the ways that he communicates with us. There's a whole bunch of scriptures, like I said, in your bulletin this week that you can take home and read and study. But we want to highlight a few ways we know, without a doubt, we can see, here's how God speaks. And the first one is, well, we know that he speaks through his Bible. And we did the study on this last week. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing the soul and spirit. Powerful words. It speaks to us, divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And we did a study on the Bible last week, if you weren't here with us. It was put together, 66 different books, over 30 different authors, put together over thousands of years. But it's God's word given to us. And for any issue that is a matter of principle, we don't have to go and say, God, can you speak to me about this morality? Or can you speak to me about this? If it's in the Bible written there, we know God's already spoken to us about that issue, and we don't have to go and ask for his voice any other way. And what we hope to do, for myself as a Christ follower, I hope to adopt a biblical worldview that says, if I read it in the Bible, then I believe it to be true. And I have to figure out how it relates to my life today. Rather than seeing, hey, here's what I want to be true, now let me see if I can figure that out in the Bible, or here's what seems to be true in my everyday going, I want to go, no, I'm going to go right to the Bible and say, if it says this, then I have to see how that plays out in my life. So we know that God has already spoken to us through his Bible. We know that he speaks through the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak on what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. And next week, we're actually going to do a deeper dive and do a study on the Holy Spirit. But God promised us the Holy Spirit, a gift to us to help us understand what we read. So we can take the Bible, and when we don't understand it, we believe that he will guide us, is what we read in John 16:13. And maybe this is a matter of trusting the inner feeling that we have when it's aligned to what we already read in the Bible. So when we read something in the Bible and then we have a confidence inside of us, then that could be the Holy Spirit speaking to us. What we do know is that the Holy Spirit's never going to give us a feeling that goes, what's against Scripture, what's against in the Bible. So we know God begins by speaking in the Bible, and then he'll confirm that feeling through a feeling through the Holy Spirit, and gives us the ability to better understand the principles that we're reading about in the Bible. A great context is this, is if you went to the verse 1 Corinthians 6:14, actually our family was talking about this week. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawless, or what fellowship has light with darkness? And we read that and we go, what could that possibly mean? What is a yoke? What is trying to be communicated to us in the Bible there? And if you read it literally, what it's saying is, as somebody that says they're of light, that's a follower of Christ, don't link together in a plow harness, in a work harness, with somebody that has a different set of guiding principles. But then there's so many other ways that we can apply a verse like this, and this is where the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to us. So we'd say, what kind of partnerships do we want to have? What kind of investments do we want to have? What kind of relationships do we want to have? And that's where we believe that the Holy Spirit can begin to speak to us. He will never go against what the Scripture says, but we'll begin to link together ideas of something that we read in Scripture. That's why we believe that the Word is alive, that the Bible is alive, because it begins to speak to us. And this verse can apply to our heart and thinking all different ways. Sometimes we go further. There's godly counsel. There's friends. Here's what Proverbs 12:26 says. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor. Proverbs 12 and 15 says, "The way of a fool seems right, but a wise man listens to advice." And so we're kind of building here, we're using building blocks. We've got the Bible, then we've got the Holy Spirit confirming that, and then sometimes when those two things are aligned, we'll have a friend that will come alongside. And as long as we have a person, an individual that is speaking in line with what we read in Scripture and in line with what the Holy Spirit has already said to us, then that person may be able to be the voice of God to us. One thing where we see this kind of get out of line sometimes, there are cases within a church community, within a small group community, where somebody will say, you know, I just want to encourage you, or I think I have something to share with you from God. Has anybody, I want to ask you to raise hands, but many of us have had that experience. If you've been in church long enough, somebody may say that. And the way that we can check that is that God speaking to us, does it line up with what's in the Bible? And does it line up with what the Holy Spirit is already saying to us? Because if those two things are already true, and then that person comes and confirms that, then we can say, no, that could be the voice of God encouraging us. If it goes against what the Bible says, we know that's not the voice of God. If it goes against what the Holy Spirit's already been encouraging us, then we should say, no, that I appreciate that, but I'm learning to hear the voice of God through all different kinds of ways, and I know God's not going to be contradictory. But we see all... Where do we see this happen? If you go to the life of Paul, Paul was the apostle that was taking Christianity outside the context of Israel and outside the context of just the Jewish groups, and he had gone into Asia and he had been going into all the north side of the Mediterranean, and he was taking the gospel there. And then he was going to make his way. He was going to go back somewhere. And somebody, being counseled that he shouldn't go, because if he went, his hands would be bound and he wasn't going to be able to, and he was going to be jailed. And Paul immediately knew, no, the Holy Spirit had already been talking to me about going, and that I was going to be jailed, and that I was going to be bound. So when somebody came to him with the word saying, no, you shouldn't go, he said, that's not the voice of God in my life. Because does it line up with what I've been encouraged to do in Scripture? Does it line up with what the Holy Spirit's been saying? Then that's not God's voice. But then there's other times when we can say, no, it's already been confirming what those two things have had, and we can say God can speak to us that way. So he speaks to us through the Word. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through friends. So if God is speaking all the time in a whole bunch of different ways, we should be regularly hearing him. And it might be possible that we have framed an idea of how God speaks, and we've limited him, and we've missed an entirely different way that God may be trying to speak to us. And it's difficult for many of us to say, God spoke to me. I don't know if you've ever been able to say confidently to somebody in discussion or but say, no, God really spoke to me about such and such. And we've just gone through some basic ways that God is speaking to people every day, but if we dig a little bit deeper, we can get to a place where we can maybe say more confidently and we can more easily recognize God's voice. So the first one is that he speaks in a variety of ways. But the second is that God speaks to us in a way that we can understand. And last week we had Pastor Dan, our youth pastor out here, and he highlighted how there's different translations of the Bible and they're saying the same thing just in different ways. And we looked at it, we said, you know, there's no version of the Bible that's better. There's no version that we could say, this is a much better version of the Bible for us to read. In fact, the best version of the Bible for us to read is the one that we can understand, is the one that we have a full context of that language, and it speaks to us the best ways, because it's all God's word. It's all encouraging us. But God makes a habit of speaking to people framed around a way and a language that they understand. For years, the church was looking at, no, we need to keep the... It was the New King James Version that was used in churches all over and denominations all over. But it became a version that didn't mesh with everyday language, and people would speak one way, and then they'd go to church, and they would go, well, I don't understand this Bible, though. Can you help me understand this? And if we look at Scripture, God actually speaks to people in a way that they could understand. When Jesus was speaking to farmers, about 2,000 years ago, he was speaking to farmers who lived under Roman emperor rule. So what kind of analogies did he use? Farming analogies and kingdom analogies. And sometimes we could get caught up saying, you know, I need to pray like it sounds in the King James. And sometimes I need to encourage people to be farmers and spread the word like seed. And if that doesn't relate to us, that's not the way God is typically going to speak to us. Those parables were relevant at that time, but we live here in the GTA and we have paved over 75% of all the usable farmland. And we're just going up and up and up. God may be trying to speak to us in a whole new way. Let me show you. Peter. Peter had a unique relationship with Jesus. He was one of the disciples, one of the 12 that Jesus brought together and to do his main teaching and be, he was going to spend 3 years in ministry, and he chose 12 people to be really close and help them understand the principles of his kingdom the best. And Peter had some high highs. He walked on water. He was the first one to confess that Jesus was God's son. And he had some low lows. He fell through that water, and moments later, Jesus had to turn and say, Jesus at one point had to call him to say, get behind me, Satan, because you're challenging me in a way that isn't a voice from God. Now, Peter's passionately building the church in Jerusalem, and he's totally missing the fact that there were millions of other people that Jesus intended for them to go to share this message of hope and life and forgiveness. They were still focused on the Jews, which is who Jesus focused on. He taught to the Jews. He was Jewish. And so Peter and the other disciples, other than Paul, they were focused there. And Peter was doing what he thought was right. And he had it in his mind that he knew what God wanted him to do. Now, what is probably the best way to get a man's attention? What are you going to use? Food. That is right. The best way to get a man's attention is typically through maybe like a motorcycle can help as well. But at that time of day, they didn't have motorcycles, so they had food. Now, Peter was hungry. If we go into the book of Acts, where God's going to speak to Peter about this brand new thing that he wants him to do. He's going to give them a vision of, you're going to go outside of Jerusalem. You're going to start to teach outside of the Jews. So you know what he used? He used food. Let's go to Acts 10, 19, and 15. The next day, as Cornelius, this is a Roman official, messengers were nearing town, Peter went up on a flat roof to pray. And we were actually, our pastoral staff was just there. This is the first place that we went when we landed in Tel Aviv. We went to this town. And it was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. And the voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. So we know that these are not kosher animals right now, because Peter says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. Isn't bacon amazing? Bacon was the thing that sent Peter out from teaching the Jews. Said, no, you're supposed to go and teach it. Don't call it unclean. Bacon is just one of the most powerful foods in the entire world. And that's why we're having it this morning. No. If you're a Christ follower, you're living every day to live out the principles of your faith. And there are specific times when God wants to intersect our days and redirect us, encourage us, maybe even reprimand us. And we can say, you know, I've been used to reading the Bible this way. I've been used to hearing God, your voice this way. And just like this in Acts 10, God comes and says, no, I need to challenge you to think, to act, to live something differently. God built us for relationship, but humanity, us as human beings, we trend it back to religion all the time, and it limits the relational nature of God. We make rules about how we should worship. We say there should be one day that's more holy. There should be one act that's more holy. There's one way to read the Bible. There's one way that we should do church. But catch this. We convince ourselves that God is limited by the habits which have become common to us. Jesus intended the gospel to go to everybody, but Peter, what had been common and normal to him was, well, we do synagogue in Jerusalem and we do it this way. And God said, no, here's the bacon. Go on out. It's got to be something else. And think, this was a habit that was established by God. It was good. It had purpose for the certain time that it was established. Peter was following the law that had been instituted that had set God's people apart, but it had become a barrier to the people that God wanted to reach. The kosher laws made God inaccessible to anyone who wasn't born Jewish and anyone who couldn't remain ceremonially pure. He wasn't changing laws. Jesus, in fact, still followed kosher laws. Pastor Joe, he pretends to be Jewish all the time. When we go out for lunch, he won't eat bacon or shrimp. He tells us why it's all wrong, and we'll say, just give us your bacon. We'll eat your bacon. I'm like an extreme eater. I have a plate of like broccoli and lentils and then like bacon and chocolate over here. So I just take it. It's not that these rules were wrong. It's that if they became a limit to what God wanted to do, then it's just things that we've instituted, and that's not the way God speaks to us. God had a very specific message to Peter to get ready to go share the message of Jesus with a guy that was outside of who could hear the message if he did it in the way that was common and normal for him. If we would live like we believe God spoke that way, and if we believe that God would speak outside of our tradition and what might be normal and common to us, we might hear God more often. Peter was horrified that there was bacon coming down. God used bacon to get Peter's attention. What might he use to speak to you? I want you to think. What are the ways that God... So we know he speaks in his word through the Bible. We know the Holy Spirit's going to encourage us. We know when we get together like this, he speaks. And those are ways that have become common and normal for us. But what other ways may God be trying to speak to you? Is it through finances? Is it through family? Is it through recreation? Is it through... What other way is God speaking to you? Because God regularly speaks in a way that is relevant for you. Look at Psalm 19, 1 and 4. This is David who grew up farming on a hillside. What did David say? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. David looked up in nature and the skies and said, God speaks to me when I'm out in the stars because that's what's common and normal for me. You know, sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is find a quiet place in nature to look out and then let God speak to our hearts. And it's not nature that's speaking to us. It's God speaking to you in a way that through his creation. Amos 4 and 17, he who formed the mountains, who creates the wind, who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. It's a subtle difference, but God is speaking to you, giving you a thought in creation. We can't discount that God is going to speak to us in a way that we weren't prepared for. In Genesis 31 and 24, these are in your notes, he speaks in dreams. In Proverbs 20 and 24, he speaks through circumstances. You know, God taught me about the love of a father. You know how he taught me about the love of a father? Through becoming a father. You know when God taught me about peace? Through one of the most stress-filled situations in my life. You know how God taught me about forgiveness? Through betrayal of friends. We can be confident that God indeed is speaking regularly. But our final question is, God speaks, but are you listening? It's possible that God has tried to get your attention, but you've missed it because it's not in the way that you regularly thought God would speak. It's like this wasn't in the version of the Bible that I like, but there was something... This wasn't in a church service. This wasn't through somebody that even listens to God. God speaks, but are you and I regularly listening? Our second discussion question is, share about a time with each other. Again, you could have absolutely no faith at all, but share about a time when you think God may have been trying to speak to you and get your attention through one of these experiences like we've just been talking, whether it's through nature, whether it's through a circumstance, whether it's through a friend. Share about a time when you think, this may have been a time when God was trying to speak to me. Go ahead and share around your table. As we get ready to close this morning, the question for reflection for all of us is, how would your life be different if we learn to hear the voice of God on a regular basis? You know, we might say that we have difficulty hearing him or that we have difficulty being confident in our relationship with God, we may know God on a whole different level if we learn to recognize how many times a day he actually spoke to us. Students, when you're going to school, you have tomorrow off, right? It's a great day. It's a long weekend. Actually, a lot of you had a PA day on Friday, right? So you've had like a four-day weekend. You've just been doing nothing. It's great. Students, listen up to me here. Do you know that God will speak to you if you're listening on Tuesday morning at your school? Do you know that when you get to school and you look down the hallway and you see kids going crazy bonkers and you see people being included, people being excluded, when you see teachers who are getting upset or teachers who are just having a blast, did you know that God will speak to you about other students and God will speak to you? And don't limit it as a kid, because who does the kingdom of heaven belong to? Anyone that receives it like a child. So God speaks to you, but you got to be listening on Tuesday morning. You got to believe that when you get to school, whether it's through a voice of a friend, whether it's through a feeling like the Holy Spirit, whether it's through something another person says, are you listening for the voice of God? Your Tuesday will be different if you walk into your school believing that you're going to hear God in all the craziness, in all the chaos. Your faith life would be totally different if you believe that. All of us, our faith life would be different. Our Thanksgiving dinners would be different tonight if we believe there was something that I was supposed to share with somebody else. There was an encouragement I was going to hear from a friend or family member. There was going to be a time when I was out hiking and God was going to speak to me. Our lives would be different if we believe that God spoke outside of Sunday morning and outside of just the Bible. He is going to speak to us when we read the Bible. We hope that through our services you hear God's voice, but it can't be just that. It's got to be a regular, ongoing relationship where God speaks to you out of the crazy moments and everything could change. Do you know that the biggest decisions I've ever made in my life, I believe, have been a direct result of the voice of God speaking to me? In high school, I met a girl and we started dating. I was only going to youth group because there were girls there. And I met this girl. And before we even left post-secondary school, we started thinking, you know, you're going to be in school in one place and I'm going to be in school in another place. This is the perfect time to break up and say we had a great high school relationship and we're going to be 3 hours apart. This doesn't make any sense. Long distance relationships don't work for adults, let alone 18-year-old kids who are going to school in two different places. But what do we believe? No, God brought us together. So we believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to us and been my partner since we were 15 years old. Oh. Biggest decision I've ever made because we believe God was speaking to us as teenagers. At the end of my high school career, I was going into advertising. I was ready to go to Sheridan College. We were going to do advertising or Conestoga. And in a service like this, I believe the only time I've ever heard a voice audibly in my head, heard the voice of God say, no, you need to tell people how much I love them. Changed my whole career because of three or four words that I believe I heard God speak in my head. I was living in London for a while. We had been youth pastoring, and I was considering whether I wanted to work at the church and consider pastoring, or there were some other cool options that I wanted, and I was kind of fading from that original call that I had heard from God, and I was working some shift work, and one night I didn't pick up the phone, and I picked up the voicemail at 2 or 3 in the morning, and this is literally what the voicemail said. This is God. I want you to come to Mississauga. Now, it was Doug. The biggest decisions I've ever made have been through the voice of a trusted leader in my life, through the voice I heard in my head, through a confidence in the Holy Spirit that God was preparing a partner for me. Our family changed because there was God speaking to us about that we had to have hope, and I've shared this story so many times, that we had to have hope, and Amanda had been to an organization called Bring Me Hope, and then we had a social worker say, I know you're considering adoption. There's a girl, we don't know what her name is, and then there's this girl named Hope. After we had been hearing about hope, and Amanda had just been singing in a worship song, and God saying, just have hope. the biggest decisions in my life have come through somebody, a social worker that didn't know God, changed our family's life. The voice of God in my head, in my heart, the voice of a trusted leader. God regularly speaks if we are listening. Revelations 3 and 20 says this, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." It's an invitation to all of us. And I don't know if you, maybe you're here this morning, you don't even have any faith at all. This is the invitation. The feeling you may be having right now, the words you're hearing me say, the words of a friend that brought you, is that there's a God that knows you, that loves you, and wants to have a relationship with you. And is not inviting you into a religion where there's habits and things that you have to do and forms that you have to connect with him. He just wants to have relationship with you. And if he's going to, he might talk to you about bacon, and he might talk to you about worship, but he might just talk to you about the things that are really deep and important to you. And for those of us that have already figured out that relationship, the challenge is, if God is speaking so regularly, how are we making space to listen to his voice? This morning, just as Heather's playing in the background quietly, I just want you to take a personal moment of reflection and say, how am I going to apply this week? How am I going to pause? If you were here with us on Wednesday and that we had the wellness night, one of the speakers said, you know that you can measure the stress, the cortisol levels in your life by the space between your heartbeats. It was an unbelievable, the space between your heartbeats, that you've got a bump and then a space. If you've got space in there that you can measure how stressed, and we miss this all the time because our heart's always racing, our world's always going, and we're work, 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 work. We go, 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 go. We've got things to do. It's in those quiet moments where we try and slow down, where we try and de-stress a little. We're going to hear God because he's speaking. Where are you going to do that this week? Just take a moment and reflect. Doesn't have to be a half an hour block. Maybe it's a 2-minute block. Maybe it's a 30-second block. Where are you going to look for God's voice this week? Lord, I thank you for our church, a place where we all feel like we can come together and we bring ourselves as put together, as broken as we feel that morning, and we try and worship you with our best. We try and hear from you. We're encouraged, and we need encouragement by your Spirit, by other people. I thank you for this group of people, Lord. And I ask that this week, we would collectively make the space to hear you. God, whether it is through just an extra space where we're going to read the Bible, whether it's through a brand new way that we've never tried before, a walk out in nature, a conversation with a friend, in a growth group discussion, Lord, would you help us to make space to hear your voice? God, give us confidence that when we do hear it, we would know that it is you and we would react to it. We wouldn't just take it as knowledge. It would be life. Hebrews said that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's life to us, Lord. It cuts through the stuff that's there, even can cut through bone. Lord, help us to really believe that your voice is going to speak to us that way. God, thank you for all the many blessings we have in our life, for the good things, for the challenges that we have. We thank you that you're refining us through that. You're building trust in us. Lord, in this weekend when the whole world, or anyway, the whole country, stops to be thankful, would we be those that are even more thankful and more grateful for what you've provided to us, Lord, how your Spirit walks with us. Thank you, Jesus. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Amen.